You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Start this off here. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining. For those of you that are willing to join, now, obviously, this is my first time doing this, and we will see how it goes. We will see if people like it. We will see if people like the podcast afterwards, but let's give this a roll. Let's give this a rumble. So first of all, I see that we have the Timberwolves. As I'm coming in right now, the Timberwolves, first of all, spoiler alert. This game, if you're behind or if you have it recorded, I'm going to be giving away a lot from the game, so maybe listen to the podcast after you've watched the game. But first of all, coming into this game, just about 7 minutes left, 6:47 right now, 192. The Timberwolves are down. I want to talk quickly about a couple of things that I noticed from the game, have noticed throughout the game, and then a couple of things that just aesthetically I didn't like, but those are a little more of my ADD than maybe about basketball. So let's get to the stuff about the actual Timberwolves game first. So the Timberwolves have no business being in this game. They had no business. I know that they got trounced by the Nuggets at the end, but they had no business even being in that game for certain points. But Towns is absolutely ridiculous, and he is awesome to watch, and he is so much fun every single night to watch play. And when Jimmy Butler left this team, this was a team that could not fight into games based on one man's performance. And now that Towns has been on this run, now that Towns has been on this tear, he has turned into that guy. He was not a guy who could take over games night and night out. You saw flashes of it, but he was not a guy who could turn out night after night and really control games. And now he has become that player. And the broadcast brought up that he has scored the most points of anyone in the NBA since the All-Star break. And so that was kind of intriguing. I was looking up some stuff. So not only is he averaging just a shade over 30, or actually exactly 35 points per game, he's also shooting 59.2% from the field. 59.2%. Now, if you look at guys' usage rates throughout the NBA from the end of the All-Star break to tonight, oh, pull up from Tyus. Gosh, I would love him. And Towns fights through everything, and there's four guys around him. That's probably a situation where you should bash. But if you look at the usage rates for the Timberwolves, or not for the Timberwolves, for the NBA, you have James Harden, you have Joel Embiid, Donovan Mitchell, and then Karl Anthony Towns right there, top of the list just as far as usage. But he is shooting the best of anybody with those top usage rates, because he's shooting 59% and he's averaging nearly 7 3-pointers per game. If you take away James Harden, who's just putting up a ridiculous 12.3 3-point attempts per game, he is right there with guys like Donovan Mitchell, LeBron James, Bradley Beal as far as scores since the All-Star break, and if you're looking at 3-point attempts. But he's a 7-foot dude who's averaging a ridiculous usage rate, and he's shooting a bunch of threes. He's attacking from all over the place, as well as keeping the pace hot for the Timberwolves. He is averaging out there, helping the Timberwolves average a 103.19 pace rate. It's better than most big men, and it's better than a lot of guards. He's playing fast. He's getting down the floor quickly. His usage rate is high, but he's playing really efficient basketball. So when you're watching this game, one of those things that you're noticing is he's able to keep the Timberwolves in this because most of those possessions that he's getting, he's scoring on. And that's something you didn't see from him last year, and that's something that I've really enjoyed seeing from him and watching him kind of grow into this player over the last really like 8 months. It's been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed it extremely. Another thing that you'll notice in this game is that somebody has to have an intervention with Wiggins and with that corner shot, because I've talked about this on the podcast before. He has not found his comfort shot yet, but it's definitely not that three-point shot. And it's really apparent in this game, because while Towns has done a great job of not only playing efficiently but also spreading his game to various parts of the floor, you definitely don't want to rely on a 7-foot guy for all your three-point shooting. And when you're the Timberwolves and you are attacking another team like the Jazz with some three-point shooters, they've got Joe Ingles, they've got Jamison Crowder, they've got Kyle Korver. They've got a few guys that can, I mean, Donovan Mitchell obviously can shoot from everywhere as well. So you've got a few guys who can shoot from all over the floor, and you're the Timberwolves, having nobody really to counter or to heat check them really shows up in these games. And Wiggins' just dedication to that corner three that he cannot hit at all is super depressing to watch. But it also is a bummer, because you think about the injuries that the Timberwolves have had. Covington is the one that really sticks out, where if he's in this game, maybe they have a heat check guy from the three-point line. But if you bring back a guy, you have Derrick Rose in this game or Jeff Teague, that's not going to really help your three-point shooting. So that's still a big area when you're playing these playoff teams like the Nuggets, like the Jazz. You're hoping that you can at least see some of the space between you and the next guy, you and those playoff teams. And that's still a huge area. From season to season, that is a reoccurring theme for the Timberwolves that they desperately need to fix, and really shows up in these games, particularly against the Jazz. Perfect punctuation there to the point. Donovan Mitchell with a nice three-point shot there that sinks, and now they are up 109-94. And if you're watching this game, this is that part where, another Towns foul. This is one of those parts of the game where it's clear that they need that second guy and they don't have him right now. They need the second guy, don't have him right now, and that's a real bummer, because it's probably Covington, and I don't know if that still wins you this game, even if he's in the game. But Towns goes to the bench here because he just picked up another foul, and that will foul him out. That foul problem rears its ugly head again for the Timberwolves. I did have a question for anybody who's watching this or anybody who's listening to the podcast that'll be out later after this game. When you're watching these games, how many triple-doubles? Because they said, I believe this would be his 43rd double-double this season. How many triple-doubles do you think Towns would have if he didn't play on the Timberwolves? Because I feel like it'd be a hefty amount. I feel like he'd probably average at least 6 or 7 a season if he wasn't on the Timberwolves, which is also kind of a bummer. Nice little commercial break. We're going to actually switch topics here since we're on the commercial break. And since this Timberwolves team is really handing this game away, giving this game away, going to switch gears here, talk about some of the stuff that annoyed me from this game that doesn't have anything to do with basketball. First of all, if you're the Timberwolves, how are you going to let Joe Ingles play well? I know that he's a good basketball player, but he looks like a substitute biology teacher, and he's just a gangly dude. And he wears his dad hats to the game and his boring-ass sneakers. How are you going to let him beat you? I don't like that at all. And I know that doesn't have anything to do with basketball, but just personally, it annoys me. And he has 12 points. I'm super not a fan of that at all. Also, is it just me, or does Rudy Gobert look awkwardly tan? Like, uncomfortably tan. Like, noticeably too tan. And it's not... I looked up pictures. I did my research before this. And if you look up like pictures from like 2015, the dude, there's this picture of the Jazz playing against the Wizards. And he's up against Gortat. And the dude is as white as Gortat. So it's just when they have him at like a free throw line or something, I don't know. It bothers me. It bothers me, and there's no reason that it should bother me, but it does. So those are a couple of the things that you probably don't care about that I'm noticing from this game. Couple other things, couple nuggets and tidbits. As we close out, 4 minutes left, 109-94. Timberwolves are down in this one. We're in the commercial break right now, and the Timberwolves are shooting 23% from three. I already talked a little bit about their three-point problems and Wiggins just being so madly in love with that corner three that he can't hit. The Jazz are 34% from three-point land, 12 of 35 from three-point range. And it really, it shows how deep this team is when you have Jay Crowder coming off the bench and going 2 for 6. You have Kyle Korver going 3 for 9 from 3. Joe Ingles 2 for 7. And so it kind of covers up some of the mistakes of Donovan Mitchell 1 for 6 going from 3-point range. This team, one of the other things that stuck out to me just watching this game as we kick off again with the action, one of the other things that has stuck out is that this team is a lot less up and down contested three from Wiggins. Dear God, have mercy. This team is a lot less up and down and shaky, a lot less dependent on Donovan Mitchell really being great offensively than when the Timberwolves played this team the first couple of times this year. This team doesn't need Donovan Mitchell to do everything. And now I know I say that and he has 22 points and leads the scoring, but there's been times during this game when it really felt like Rudy Gobert was owning the Timberwolves or really controlling the game. It felt like Kyle Korver was offering a breath of fresh air, or that maybe Jay Crowder was hitting some much-needed shot. He has 18 points off the bench. Kyle Korver has 11. And it felt like Jay Crowder was adding some much-needed score for this Jazz team to kind of slow down the Timberwolves. And so it doesn't feel necessarily like the Jazz desperately need Donovan Mitchell to do everything and to control and kind of choke out another team. And I think that's what makes them not only look really good in this game, but when you have the broadcast saying teams wouldn't want to play this team in the playoffs, I think that's why I have them commenting on this Jazz team, because it does look like a more confident Jazz team. And they are it does feel like they're finishing out the year a little bit more like they finished out last year than like they started this year. And I know that doesn't help the Timberwolves at all in this game, but I think it is an interesting aspect that the Timberwolves, in spite of that, have been able to hang with them for a vast majority of this game. And so 113-96, 3 minutes left. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm not seeing the Timberwolves pull any closer to this Jazz team than they are right now, especially with Towns fouling out. And so that's going to be it for me. I'm going to check out a little bit early. Don't want the podcast to go too crazy long for the listeners tomorrow. But that's what I'm seeing. That's what's shaking out for me during this game. That's what I'm noticing. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. I know that there maybe wasn't a ton of crazy people following along on Twitter, and I will try this again. I'll workshop it. For those of you listening to the podcast tonight or tomorrow morning, make sure that you let me know, whether it's on Twitter, in the comments, on iTunes, or let me know if you listen on Spotify. I don't know, getting a message to me somehow. Let me know what you thought of this. I will do this again more. I've wanted to try a bunch of different kinds of things, different activities that we can do around the podcast, maybe a little more interactive stuff. So let me know what you guys thought of this. Let me know what you guys liked about it, what you didn't like about it. Maybe next time I can bring on a guest or something like that. I don't know. But workshopping with it, playing around with it, tooling with it. So let me know what you guys thought. That's another bucket for the Jazz. They're up with about 2.5 minutes left, 115-96. So that'll probably be it for the Timberwolves, and that'll be it for me. Thank you so much for sticking with me. Those of you who did tune in at certain times, those of you who are sticking with me right now, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a fantastic rest of your night. All right, here we go. The extra leg of the podcast. I did some of the podcast on Twitter Live while watching the end of the Utah Jazz Timberwolves game. Now we're going to wrap up the rest of the podcast. The game is officially over. The Timberwolves lose 120-100. basically the same theme as the Nuggets game. They hung around, kept it close for good portions of this game. But this is a playoff team they're playing, and the Timberwolves are not a playoff team. And so it became clear in the fourth quarter which was which and which team could close out. I will say this, and I brought up a little bit with Wiggins, but just as a team, as a whole, gosh, they give opponents a lot of easily defended possessions. And here's what I mean by that. When you go down the court and you take a contested three early on in the shot clock, you are not stressing out the other team at all. You're not stressing out or putting any pressure on the defense. You're not making it hard for any of these guys to defend you. You're not making them work or stretch as a defense. And it really is a bummer, because if you see that Towns can take over stretches and periods of these games, even when he's playing a playoff type team, and that's really impressive, and that's good. And you see some of the stuff they're able to do, just as far as maybe hanging around, even when they're shorthanded. I mean, they didn't have Teague in this one. Obviously, Covington hasn't come back. They didn't have Derrick Rose in this one, and him being out hurts their scoring a lot. And so you see them sticking around this game, and it's a good thing. They showed some stuff. They showed some fight. But you also see a real lack of creativity. And when they're not playing with their full complement of guards, and when they're not playing, especially with their full complement of guards, but even when they are playing with their full complement of guards, you really see just a confusing shot selection from this team more often than not. And it's really unfortunate, because they can play better than themselves, but that seems to be more of a separation from the norm than the norm. And you see it for stretches, you see it for streaks, and I think that's what gets fans excited, much like players can get fans excited, but you also see it for real runs in games. And so when you're looking at this team and what goes wrong to finish out these games with these big scores and these big point differentiations between them and their opponents versus how they're playing during the game, or how they're playing to like start out a game or even in a third quarter, and then you look at the fourth quarter, oh my gosh, why did they lose by 20 points? It's because they're making really boneheaded possessions. And I'm not saying that there's not a time, talked earlier in the podcast about Towns' usage rate, and there's plenty of times when it should be isolation Towns, or when I'm fine with the isolation with Derrick Rose. Talked about this a few podcasts ago, where I'm totally fine with the isolation that Derrick Rose imposes on the game at points. But those are very carefully picked and chosen moments, versus maybe some of these contested, like a Gorgie or a Wiggins contested three, or when Bayless doesn't want to get anybody else involved. And again, there are moments where some of that may be good, but you also got to know in those moments exactly where your spots are and exactly where you're going and what you're doing with the ball, and you're seeing a matchup that you can take advantage of. And to be honest, for a vast majority of these shots that the Timberwolves are taking, they don't seem to have a cognizant realization of where they are on the shot clock, what the matchup is, if they should be taking that. They only seem to think, oh my gosh, we really need points right now, and we need to do it quick, so I'm going to launch this three up. And you see them, then the Jazz go down, and they have a guy drive and then kick it out, and then that guy passes across from one top of the three-point line off the elbow to the other top of the three-point line off the elbow, and then they sink a three, and you say, oh, well, why can't we do that? It's not because the players are stupid. It's just because you're not playing smart basketball. You're not playing good basketball. And that is it. Again, that's the difference between a playoff team and a team that's going to be taking a seat on the couch once 82 games are over and once 82 games have closed out. And it's a bummer. It's unfortunate because, yet again, I feel like combined with injuries that sideline this team, there's also a lot of talent on this team, and it's silliness like that that sidelines them, maybe not a lack of talent or in a bunch of players' case, a lack of effort, and that's an unfortunate way to go down. It really is a bummer, but that's another thing closing out here. Just wanted to add a little extra juice and a little extra oomph to the podcast for those listeners who weren't tuning in on Twitter. I want you guys to let me know what you think of these live podcasts, what you think of these live shows. Hit me up. Let me know what you are thinking, why they went well, why they didn't go well. Maybe if they went better, if there was like a guest or something. Just let me know what you think of them. Let me know what you think of them. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.